Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 41 of From Pain to Power. And I believe this episode, we're pre-recording this today, but it is due to launch on the 2nd of January. So very happy new year to all of the lovely listeners and community of this podcast. And today I have a very special guest and also a dear friend with me, Jennifer van Uffelen. We are going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about, generally speaking, this topic of easing into the new year mindfully. So yeah, I'd love to introduce Jennifer. So Jennifer is a former student of mine. She was on the first iteration of the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training that launched in, I think it was it 2022, Jennifer? No, 2021.
21, October.
Yeah, the first one was 2021 into 2022. So she is a graduate of the course. And we met in Dublin back in 2019, not long before COVID hit. And we've had a lot of really, really interesting conversations about a lot of things, but also menstrual cycle awareness. She came to the journey of menstrual cycle awareness that year as well. And so, yeah, I'd love to introduce Jennifer. So hi, Jennifer, you're very welcome today. How are you doing?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm doing really well. And yeah, happy to be here in good hands. And a good topic as well to kind of ease into the new year with where we are right now, like the year coming to an end. Yeah, that rushing of jumping into things and setting goals. And I think at the same time, we were chatting a bit earlier that it's really a time of slowing down and yeah, taking it gently and mindfully.
Yeah. Even this morning when we sat down to record, Jennifer and I, we were both a bit like, oh, damn it. I've had a bit of a slow slashed rushed morning. It's Monday and it's the Monday. Is it the Monday before Christmas? What date is it today? It's the 19th, isn't it?
Yes.
The 19th of December. So this week is always a bit hectic and crazy. And I don't know, it's just a bit mad. The world's a bit mad this time of year, you know, like you have to do all the family things and the social things and the work things. And we were just saying, hey, like, you know, we still have January and February to sort things out. But before we get into the juicy goodness, Jennifer, I wonder, would you introduce yourself? Because you have a very interesting career and background.
Yeah, okay. So I'm a well-being coach and facilitator, and it's taken me a while to kind of put all the work together. And I think it's really coming from my own journey in self-development and growth. And what I'm focusing on now is really to get people to find connection to themselves. And, you know, by connecting to themselves, connecting more to the world around them and really like ease into the potential that's there in a gentle and in a mindful way. So I incorporate just different elements like mindfulness, coaching, and yeah, sitting with what is with the person and with their inner conversations as well.
Where did you train to be a life and well-being coach, Jennifer?
I actually trained originally in coaching with the Irish Life Coach Institute. So that is a few years ago now. And I feel so much has changed since. But at the same time, it's like that foundational work that's really based on, you know, challenging your own assumptions and creating that non-judgmental space to sit with people and having deep listening skills as well. I think that first journey in a group learning process really helped me to just slow it down and become an observer of an inner conversation that's going on when you sit with someone else as well. So it's beautiful what can come out of a conversation if you kind of drop the expectations of what should come out of it. And, you know, instead of offering help or advice that might not be what the person needs, really sit with what someone's goals are and what, where do they really want to get and what do they want to come away with. And the more people tap into that in themselves, they find so much wisdom in there. It's hearing yourself talking out loud and coming to your own realizations. And that was really profound for me. I feel like that's really the start of observing that helper and supporter in me that could be helping and supporting in a more beneficial way, I suppose, in the world as well.
That's gorgeous. I love that that approach you bring to your work, your coaching work that you have. What I'm hearing just as I'm listening to you, Jennifer, is that you're, you know, you have these trainings and you've got experience, but you are weaving these different modalities and insights and way of looking at things together, like that you're acknowledging goal setting and, you know, people's intentions and where they like the results that they want and their ambitions, but also that mindful piece of like sitting with the feeling and holding space for your clients. And what I'd say to the audience about Jennifer is she is such a good example of those two pieces together, because when you and I go for walks and we're just chatting as friends, it's both of that. It's kind of that, like the action piece and this sort of containment piece together that you're, you know, that you're bringing in. And I think that's such a lovely, unique thing to bring into the coaching world, because it's not really, you know, I both know that the coaching world is very, you know, goal and achievement and results oriented and a really powerful, interesting way. And there's so many different models and tools we can use. But when it comes to this more kind of quote unquote feminine being, unlearning kind of work, it does require another approach to be weaved into all of those modalities that you've been trained in, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think even when I hear you speaking, it's like that sense of like having the presence of someone in order to be able to feel what's going on when you're processing something, because it's one thing to focus on what you want to get out of something, or, you know, what the results are that you're looking for. But it's another thing to realize, like, what is stopping you to actually get there, or what maybe just needs to be processed, like what feelings are there that you haven't been able to allow to flow through. And I think until you do that, there's just something always like stopping you in your tracks to just sit in the results. You know, sometimes the result already is there, I believe, but it's the feeling that is still a little bit behind.
Oh, that's so powerful. So yeah, the result can be there, but the feeling hasn't yet caught up. That's so interesting. I can really relate to that, Jennifer, like in my business, in my personal life. And then the piece around emotions, and that's a huge part of my work as well, as you know, is that emotional processing piece. And I have to say, like I was saying this to my professional students who are my current participants on the course this year, like a lot of the work, a lot of what does block us, at least what I see, is especially when it comes to, say, goal-oriented things, not necessarily trauma work, right? But like the sort of business side to work or whatever, if you are training as in coaching or these modalities, a lot of it is learning to sit with uncomfortable feelings as like with the capacity that you have. That's why I work with the nervous system, because we're building that capacity for feelings. And the more you then train your body and your mind and your spirit and you, and you know, you build that capacity for compassion and self-care, et cetera, because that takes time, as we both know. It does. It really, like those blocks, those sort of quote unquote mental blocks that we think are just mindset things, they are rooted in that emotional piece. And then the more we learn to process them through in different ways, that's where you can really, really kind of unravel from these knots. That's kind of my own experience. Would that be the same for you and your clients, Jennifer?
Yeah. And it even, like, what came to mind for me is when you were mentioning earlier, like when we go on walks and we talk, I think you and I are both good at like intellectualizing something, as in you're kind of observing what's happening and then you're kind of observing your own behavior in it. And you know, I think that is something that really resonated with me in like finding an understanding in it. But then, it's really brought me to that process of, okay, I can have an understanding of something. Like I would have learned about the nervous system multiple times and I would be someone that implements things in my life and not just, you know, not just observes things and then let them sit there, but I'm kind of like becoming really curious of how can I implement that. But it does take a really long time. Like, it's not something that just happens there and then. So I feel like over the years, the more I'm learning, the more there is to learn, because there's always more to process and to sit with. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be intellectualized all the time. It's when we get stuck in the thoughts and the thinking about it that could kind of like stop something from growing and evolving as well. And, you know, just take a leap of faith and take it gently. Yeah. And sit in the discomfort of things. I feel like that's really where growth is when it becomes a little bit uncomfortable. And yeah, from your question then, like, is that something that I see with clients in my work? Like, I see that in my work, and then I see that also in myself, is where you have that little gentle hand holding you through some discomfort. And after that comes the reflection of, okay, so once I've taken this step to experience this feeling or experience this first of something or try something new, you create that kind of safety in yourself to take a step forward and to keep implementing that. Yeah. I think, yeah.
It comes back to the aligned, that term aligned action, doesn't it? It's like you might intellectualize something, then you get to the feeling place of like, and then, you know, processing it in your body, and then the aligned action. I'll just give a very simple, very basic practical example, because I know we're kind of talking very theoretically here, and I find examples helpful. So going back to the morning piece, so I'm not a morning person, right? No matter how hard I try, and no matter how much the world wants me to be a morning a morning person and get up at 6 o'clock and do all the things, it's just not who I am. And obviously sleep is important. I don't go to bed ridiculously late, but in the morning, it's taken me a long time to sort of reject that narrative of, oh, you should do all of these things in the morning from 6 a.m. And the way I see my mornings now is, and what happens is, I can very often wake up quite anxious and in a very negative mindset in the first thing in the morning. And if I roll with that, if I allow that momentum to build, I can be in a pretty critical mindset or a negative self-thinking kind of place, like for the majority of the day or the majority of the morning. And it's only kind of in the recent times where I'm like, you know, my mornings are my, I feel a little, I don't feel great in the mornings, but when I give myself the space and the permission to kind of quote unquote reset my nervous system and reset my mind a little bit, it doesn't take a lot of things that I have to do. It really, I feel so much better. So, you know, practically speaking, I've had to really allow myself like a good 2 hours or an hour and a half in the morning before I start like work to do the things that help me feel regulated in my nervous system, to feel connected to myself somewhat, to feel like ready for the day from kind of, you know, from a place of possibility or choice around joy and connection and positive thinking, as opposed to feeling really like a victim to the day, you know, because that can really happen to me. So the way I frame it is for myself, because obviously I'm really interested in cycles and the seasons, is that like that morning is the inner spring of my day. And so if you go back to that episode on the inner spring, I can't remember what episode it is, but I'll link it in the show notes. But I speak a lot about the vulnerability of the inner spring. Like, it's a vulnerable, tender time. It's only the new life has come. Like, it's that early time, you know, it's delicate, and we can burn out quite easily if we push through to summer. So we have to really stay with that delicate time. So for me, it's like, you know, I really like having a cup of green tea first thing in the morning, get my morning light, have breakfast. I read some of my, like, a little spiritual literature that I have from an Al-Anon book that I have, and do a little bit of movement like Qigong or something. You know, those are the kind of things. I don't do a huge like morning practice, but just kind of a few little small bits. And then it's like, I'm, you know, good enough to go, if you will, for the day. So, but it's taken me a long time, Jennifer, to admit that to myself. Does that make sense?
It resonates so much. And I think that's exactly it. It's like that, it's in the small things, like it's in the really small things that come up day to day. And to be honest, I really, like, I heard, and this happens many times, like when you're speaking, it's like, it's like you're describing something that happens for me. Because I tend to wake up quite anxious. And I feel like it's only from actually starting to notice that and observing that and accepting that that is something that's there, not to be completely overwhelmed by it or, you know, take it as something negative or something that I should change or that should happen. And now it doesn't really stick with me, where before, you know, I don't know how I would have started my day and what I would have been doing. I would maybe not be completely aware of it. So then you don't really know what it feeds into. And once we kind of observe what happens and then sit with that experience and become comfortable with that and accept that that's there without having to really change it, we can just put some practices in place to support ourselves so that we don't have to stay in it. I think that's the important piece, where it's not that we have to like change how we feel, but just to have something in place that we know that we can go to. And like, I don't like a routine that is too strict and the same all the time. I feel like get really rebellious. But in a way, it's like some kind of a routine that is really helpful, because it's only for me from doing things and doing them on a regular basis, like practicing yoga, for example. It would have started with really gentle, like, introduction to it once in a while, having an interest, becoming curious, and then implementing it more and more into my life. And it's only now, looking back after so much time, that I see the effect of it and that I see the support of it. And that goes with so many things, like diet and, you know, journaling or anything that's supportive, or even like new types of relationships in my life. Or it's like when you look back after so many years and look at the small changes that you've made over time, that really builds up, and we don't have to do them all at once. Like, that's a lot of pressure.
I can really relate to that, because the coaching world, you and I both love coaching, obviously. but there is this pressure to, you know, completely change how you live your life, really, isn't it? And, you know, well, I know for myself personally, it's never helpful. It never sticks. I've tried a lot of things, you know, radical changes with certain things, and they just never stick. So yeah, it is this, it's the small things, and then accepting this is the way I am. I'm also not really a routine person. I do have structure in my day, of course, especially when it comes to things like meals and sleep. Those would be like my anchors. And then I have some structure in my week as well, but I like to flow, and my every single, you know, every day of my week is very different because of my work. But if I had a very, very, very structured life, I would just, I would rebel against that and react. And then I have friends who are super structured, and they really struggle with the lack of structure. So it actually comes down to who you are and your preferences and your makeup and your personality and your background and how you were raised and your culture. There's so many layers to it. So we can't really force ourselves to be someone we're not. I think, like, on my own, coach is really good at that. She's really all about like helping you to be more you. Except for like a lot of permission. And but sometimes you have, like you say, you have to make just a few small tweaks. Like, I had to make tweaks in my mindset around my morning, and then the permission for the space and the things that I wanted to do or needed to do that would help me then structure my day. But if I was to like force myself to be this morning gym bunny, it was just never going to happen. You know, maybe it would last for like 2 weeks, and then I would just be really self-critical, and I would be back at square one thinking I was a failure, do you know? So yeah, it's the small things. I wonder, how do you fancy chatting about, you know, weaving this into the course? So you are a graduate of the menstrual cycle professional training. So how was that for you? How was it for you? And like, I suppose the reason I'm weaving this in now is because a lot of the way that I do facilitate and work is trying to support people in who they are, and weaving this work into who they are, as opposed to having to like change who they are or change their practices. So there is quite a lot of agency in the program. So
And I think, Lisa, that's kind of what drew me into it as well, because I feel like, and to tend to one of the things that you said, it's in my original coaching training, the one lesson that always kept coming back was sticking to the client's agenda. So like, you know, you have to take it at people's pace and where they're at now. And it's really having that presence to sit with someone where they are in that moment in time and then sticking to their agenda, as into, you know, what do they want to weave in that time? And I really felt like that started a whole self-development for me again. And it's like that with every training. Mm-hmm. And so I learned about the nervous system. I got curious about different things. So like training is one thing, but then another thing is all the stuff you read about. And it'd be like, you know, this whole rabbit hole of relationship stuff and family dynamics and attachment theories and like all the stuff that's there. It probably is never going to end, because I'm just really interested. And I feel like that part of me that always wants to learn and grow, that's what I'm really tending to when I'm looking into materials. And then as I qualified as a coach, it kind of changed the dynamic in that, where it was one part is me on my self-development, but then the other part is me as a coach. So it's kind of, how do all these different parts weave into my own practice? And I think when we met, I was on a journey myself with, like, I was changing over to natural medicine. Like I remember myself as a child, like getting sick quite often and just having like a lot of physical problems all the time. Like I didn't have a huge like critical disease or anything, but it was like there was always issues, and that kind of fed into me growing up, and there was always things there. So it's like over time I made different decisions to tend to different parts of me, and my physical health was definitely a big element of that. So it was like I was on a journey into learning the psychology of things, and then training how to work with people and their psychology as well and their well-being. But then on another journey, I was going through a physical journey where I was really noticing how I got really stuck in my head, like over time. And I can still do that now and start to overthink things. It's kind of what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, you can intellectualize things and stick with those thoughts, but it's only when you really process it into your body, into your feeling, that it allows space for that to really grow on a different level. And so part of my journey then was implementing practices like, you know, practicing yoga, practicing meditation, sitting with my experience. And then when I hopped on to the menstrual cycle course with you, that really came from, first of all, a personal journey of kind of becoming intimate with my menstrual cycle. As in, mm-hmm. I didn't really have serious issues or anything, but I was always on the pill, and I didn't really have a relationship with that cyclical nature of myself, like over time. Mm-hmm. And even though it didn't create like this one substantial problem, I think when I look back now after doing the training, I can see how important that is. And that's what I feel it was. It was kind of like a deeper level of mindfulness, where in mindfulness, we look at, you know, observing the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, and then also the physical sensations. But as a woman with a menstrual cycle, that also changes over the month. So I'm not mm-hmm. going to have the same experience at every time of the month. And it was by, you know, being introduced to that by yourself a few years before, and then kind of becoming curious about it and integrating that, I felt like that really brought a deeper intimacy with myself. And then what drew me into doing the training was more your sense of holding a practice with integrity. It's like, you know, being with other people who all come from their own experience, and then bringing that level of embodiment, like sitting with people in the experience that we have now, and then mm-hmm. tending to that knowledge of the nervous system and the menstrual cycle, and really learning on a deeper level. So I think it was such a combination of things. And I know that that was a real roundabout way of of saying how I ended up there, but that's what it really was. And I think it's really important to tend to that it doesn't just have to be this one critical experience or this this one crucial thing that you have to change. Or it's really about having that deeper awareness. And for me, it was that bringing the pieces together of my personal development journey and then my professional development as a coach, and going into a group process with people where I can weave all those pieces together and bring that embodiment to my practice. Like, even when I read over my notes from the start, it would say, like, that's what my goal was, is to bring embodiment to my practice. And I feel like with that intention, you know, there comes so much awareness and growth and learning on different levels of yourself, like physically, emotionally. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. Well, like there is no right answer to the question ever in my world. So what I'm hearing is, like, you know, you had your personal journey with this work, and then obviously you were already growing your professional practice and coaching. And so the course helped you bring a level of embodiment to your professional practice that you were already cultivating in your personal life. And I say that's a really good summary, actually, of what the course is and hopefully does for people, is bring that level of embodiment to our professional selves. And I think that is something that I'm pretty good at. It's what I teach people, really, is that, you know, how do you then sit with your own nervous system when you're sitting with a client, and how do you tune into their nervous system and have an awareness of your own, like you say, your own intimate relationship with your cycle while you're also coaching people. And I have to say, like, I think that's where a lot of the gold is in my own coaching practice, is really being connected to my own somatic self while staying in connection with the other as well at the same time. And when I get disconnected, which obviously happens because that's what life does, or like rattled, or an emotion moves through me that's not familiar, that informs me about what's happening in the group or what's happening with the client. Or, you know, so in a way, it is quite intuitive work on the somatic level, I think. You know, it's very intuitive, and we're so used to being in our heads. And that's another thing as well, like, a lot of the time people might come into the program, and understandably, and I can do a better job of explaining this, but people do expect me to kind of like tell them all the information and give them the answers. And then I don't do that. And it's like, oh shit, Lisa, like, okay, I know you've given me some tools, but like, what do I do? You know? And it's like, well, we don't actually, that's not how I coach people. I don't, like, and like yourself, Jennifer, I don't sit there and give people the answer. Well, I do sometimes, I have to guide them and give them sort of information. But in terms of, like, if your clients are, and I'm speaking to the professional side of this work now, if your clients are coming in projecting a lot of urgency onto you, I'd rather work with the urgency and I'd rather work with their nervous system and their relationship with urgency and fear of getting it wrong or needing to have the right answer, than like buying into that with them and then giving them the right answer and like sort of hooking into their dynamic, which often happens, you know. So it is pretty deep work. And especially like with the menstrual cycle awareness work, like, what I love about it is that there's so many books you can read on this stuff now, and there's so many courses you can take. But I think when you weave it in with that somatic piece and then the coaching layer, which we're both doing, it really helps you to think differently about, like, you know, clients who want to work with their menstrual cycle, because you can't really work from the approach, well, you can work from the approach of, like, you know, here's the things you need to do. But my clients have already read the book. So it's really about, like you said at the start, what's our relationship with the information? What's our relationship with the content? Being aware of our patterns. And that's where we, you know, obviously where we dive into things like attachment theory and polyvagal and loyalties and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't know, even know if I'm explaining what I'm trying to say, but it's an embodied journey, isn't it, in terms of coaching, for sure. And it's like, using, if you are someone who has like Jennifer, cultivated an embodied relationship with yourself through your mindfulness practice or your menstrual cycle awareness practice, and you're curious about bringing it to, like, bringing your skills and embodiment to the professional level, then that's what we're doing in this, essentially, that's what we're doing in this program.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like for me, like myself, I see so much benefit of having like that process within a group with others. Like, it's so healing to be able to express yourself in a group and learn and have that level of, you know, supervision of someone who is holding the space. Like in the course, you held the space in a way that everyone else also has that space to hold it together, like with you in some way. And I know that sounds maybe a bit, it doesn't maybe have like a real practical explanation of what that looks like, but it's an experience really. And I think that is really important for me. And in any training, that's what I've really benefited from to like accelerate my own growth, is to go through a process in a group where there is a really safe space held. And I think it was really important for me, actually. Like at the time, I was going through a really tough time on a personal level myself. Like, and I won't really go into it here, but my dad passed away like not that long before, you know? And I feel like for me, it was having a sense of somewhere where I could keep, I suppose I could keep like intimate with myself and with my own journey in the capacity of my work and my own development, kind of apart from what I was going through on another level. And it's having that sense of, you know, something really difficult can happen in your life, and it doesn't have to mean that it has to put everything on pause while you're going through it, but it does feed into everything else you're doing. So it's like that personal experience is something that you are bringing to all those different spaces. And I think something that we talked about a few times actually is like having that integrity in your work. And something that we were really diving into was, you know, I don't have to always have it all together. Like, I don't have to be perfectly healed all the time to be able to show up and support others and support other people. And there might be times, you know, where obviously I'm needing to take a step back, but it's having that awareness of when the time is there where I need to, you know, tend to myself and I can't actually like be showing up in the world. But then other times, which would be many times really, where, you know, I'm processing something or there's something going on in my family or my relationship or in my own head that is not enjoyable, you know, where it's like, okay, that can be there. But actually, when I'm holding space for someone else, I don't have to bring it to the space. I can be aware of it. And I think it's when we're not aware of that being there, it becomes a problem and we might really take it into the process. But when we're aware of it, we can, I suppose, hold that little part of ourselves to be tending to it, you know, at another time when it is relevant and when we do have the space for it.
That's really important when I'm, that is such a good point, Jennifer. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing as well your vulnerability around the tenderness you were holding for yourself, you know, on the course. And I really appreciate your ability to hold the space for yourself with that, because I remember you navigated that so, like, so tenderly for yourself. You know, it was very much in one day at a time approach, and you were going through something deep, probably still are on a different level, you know, because it hasn't been that long. But yeah, when it comes to the your professional self coaching people, like, that's one of the things, those myths that we have to debunk early on when we're doing this work, is this idea. And especially in this menstrual cycle work, because a lot of people who come to the menstrual cycle professional work come because of their own personal lived experience. But then we have this like internalized, really unhealthy way of thinking that we have to like be fixed, quote unquote fixed, or we have to have figured out our period problems or before we can start helping people. Or if we have, you know, if we get, you know, the path goes a different way for us, or we start, you know, maybe you do have it, quote unquote fixed, and then something happens, that you're not then a failure, you know? So it can be really, really, I think that, well, the way I describe that is that's just an internalized kind of like capitalistic kind of like way of thinking about things. But in this work, we're really holding space for like conflicting truths together. And like you say so beautifully, like holding that compassionate space for yourself and for that vulnerable part in the background with awareness, while you're also holding space for your client. And that's something I've had to learn to get good at and do. And, you know, it's never perfect, but when you have the permission to be a human, you know, and a professional, like that is very, for me, that has been very liberating, and learning how to do that has been very liberating and just takes all the expectations off me. And I show up as a better coach, you know, when I can really be in relationship with my own humanness.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like where we are, like what we chatted about before we came here, it's like we're both a bit like flustered, like what were we talking about? Yeah. And then, you know, we can just sit with what is with us now. But it's like, you know, that time of year that we're in, where are we in our cycle? I feel like in a few days I'm ready to just like let everything go, have a deep rest. Yeah, put myself away from the world in a positive way, where I'm like, I'm so looking forward to that. Like just diving into slowing down, resting, doing nothing. And I don't think I've ever been so aware of it. Well, maybe I was last year, actually. And it's kind of that experience that brought me back to it. And it's like once you become really aware of what is supporting you and like what comes out of it, like can we really just let go of what our expectations are of what we should be doing now and just give in and surrender to what we are feeling now? Like I've only really realized over time by experiencing that and by just surrendering to like what is with me that it doesn't actually last. It always passes and something always changes or shifts, or, and yeah, I might wake up and have this whole new inspiration about things. And if I would keep fighting like what is sitting with me in the moment, or, you know, when I have something to do, like let's say I have a client session and like I have something going on for myself, like the more I would fight that and think, oh, I should be showing up this way, or, you know, like I'm recording this podcast today, so I should be like dancing around the house and be in this like mindset that I'm not in now. It's not going to allow me to show up with how I am now and with my experience in this moment. So yeah, I think it's a lot to do with that compassion for ourselves and that kindness and just the acceptance of like where we are right now. And the more we can accept it, the less it has to stay and the less it has to fight, I think, to be able to show up.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that, Jennifer. That's so good. You know, we know all this stuff and I still get into battles with things that are going on in my head and in my emotional state. You know, when I do spend a lot of time resisting feelings, they just will show up in other ways. And sometimes I'm like, I think I just need to give myself a big cry, you know. And thankfully the menstrual cycle helps that because it brings things to the surface in the premenstrual phase. And I'm like listening to that. I'm like, okay, what's there? What needs to be tended to? But that's really powerful, Jennifer, like that, like, and what I'm really hearing in what you're saying is that like showing up for yourself, being curious about yourself one day at a time. Yes, you have these intentions and these aspirations, but you're not going to force outcomes, and you have clarity around what your supports are. And I'm assuming those supports are like interpersonal people and, you know, your self-care tools and your mindfulness and spiritual tools, etc. And when we can just stay connected to those, then really the outcomes, well, for me, the outcomes always show up in different ways, sometimes better than I expected, actually. And so do I have capacity for feeling that, you know? So that brings us onto this piece around the title of this podcast. So easing into the new year mindfully. And the reason I titled it as such is because I do think Jennifer has such an integrated way of living mindfully. She is very, like what she's saying is, you know, you're really integrating this into all parts of your life, into aspects of your life, even the difficult stuff like your grief process and your self-care. And I know you've moved house a few times and, you know, you've made big life changes in the last few years. What would we like to talk about in for inspiration, say, for our listeners, for who are you know, listening to this and thinking about easing into the new year mindfully, what comes to mind for, you know, what can we share for them?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it's like, first of all, sitting with that question, like really reflecting on, you know, what's your experience? Like, how was your experience of spending time with loved ones, you know, or maybe not spending time with certain loved ones? And what has happened for you? Like, what were your feelings around things? And what has been going on for you in the past year? And, you know, has there been an opportunity to rest and to sit with that? And, you know, before stepping into goal setting, and I know January is kind of that time of, you know, setting the goals and what do we want to do in the new year. And I think in a way, it's really important to look forward and to visualize, you know, what you would want to reach in your life in that year. But at the same time, I think it's important to create a bit of intimacy with that and feel like what is really joyful in it. So rather than putting goals in a sense of expectation and already like rushing into expectations from the start of January, which is in the middle of winter, you know, having a sit down with intentions and like what would feel really joyful, visualizing like things that you would want to experience for yourself and that would feel like a really joyful outcome, but giving yourself time to really rest with that and sit with that rather than straight away stepping into the action plan and, you know, what do I need to do to get there? And then thinking, oh, if I want this, well, I can't do that because of this. But just surrendering for a while, like noticing your breath, noticing your body, noticing your needs, you know, your movement practices, if you have one, but feel what feels really comfortable and nourishing and nurturing, and give yourself a bit of time to dream and to vision and to, like, you know, have an open mind about what could unravel for yourself in the new year, and really allow yourself that experience to have a joyful experience with that and dropping all the expectations. That's really something that, yeah, I would start off with. I don't know if you have any thoughts of that.
No, it's really inspiring, Jennifer. I love the focus on feeling and curiosity around feeling even before you even get to the feeling, you know, like really sitting with the feeling and sitting with the what would feel nourishing and nurturing and where is the joy. I love that, because you're dead right. We're so conditioned, I think, in our society to focus on these goals and these outcomes. And like, you know, I worked in corporate world for several years and the businesses were always like Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, you know, and it was just always this like sort of hamster wheel of like, what's the next goal thing? And we never really had much time to feel into stuff. Not that I wanted to there, but I'm trying to not, like, you know, like have those types of ways of thinking in my own business. I have a very different way of working with goals in my own business. But yeah, I agree with you, that piece around feeling into things. So like, how would you, like practically speaking, like what does that look like for you in the new year or around Christmas time? Do you like a journaling practice or anything like that? Like, because I have mine and I'd love to hear yours first.
Yeah, well, I definitely feel like after the end of year, you know, when the new year starts, you're still kind of in that space of the depth of winter. And maybe there hasn't really been enough room or enough place in your life. And I think we also, you know, can acknowledge that a lot of people that are listening are maybe in a certain role in society where they are living in a rush in some kind of way, you know, where it's not about having to change that and, you know, that's wrong and you need to now quit your job and go and rest in a cave for a week. But it's just about acknowledging that that's there, but then acknowledging maybe where you are in the year. So have a little curiosity about, you know, what time of year it is, what's showing up in nature around you. You know, the winter is really slowing everything down. Everything's kind of taking a pause. So it's a deep state of rest. So is there like any questions that come up for you in a journal practice around that? Like where, you know, where do you need rest, for example? So is there a bit of writing that you can do around that? And then really creating that space for yourself for feeling. So in my own practice, it would look like, you know, having a space to meditate and maybe also to visualize. So I talked about visualization a little bit, but, you know, there's practices there for you to reach out to. And is there a visualization that you can do around, you know, what is it that really brought you joy and pleasure in the past year, for example? And what is something that you really want to invite in more of and become really curious? And, you know, if your life is really busy, there might not be a lot of time for that, but can you build a bit of capacity in your week or in your day to sit down with yourself and just write down what comes up for you and have that little free flow of writing? And something that I was invited to a few years ago, and I know that we touched on it as well, Lisa, is the word of the year. So have a think about, you know, what could your word of this year be? And, you know, it doesn't have to come up straight away, and there's no pressure on like finding the exact right word. But just, yeah, have a really good sit with yourself, as in, you know, where is your capacity for this year? But then what are you feeling when you really slow it down and you feel into your body, into your environment, into your relationships, into your work? So, you know, you could be on a real personal journey for the year, or it could be a career-oriented journey. But is there a word that comes up for you, something that you want to really invite in that year? And then journal on that word and what that means to you, and create questions around, you know, how can you invite that into your life? What would that look like? What if you create safety with that? And yeah, that's really like, I'm sure it's not everything. I feel like...
But I was just curious about what came to mind in terms of practically speaking that New Year's stuff, because that's like, I do that too, Jennifer. Like for me, I'll just share a little bit about what I do. So the week between Christmas and New Year's for me is, I've had to learn the hard way to not have really much stuff in my diary and actually that I want to sleep a lot. I want to just spend time with my nuclear family. I have nephews. And to be in nature and watch movies and just kind of squirrel away, right? And eat, eat a lot. And I love going for walks. If I'm processing emotions, like practically speaking, what that looks like for me is that I will, if I'm going through something difficult, say, I will go on a walk with the emotion as though it's like going on a walk with a friend, you know, and I'll just kind of be in company with it. Or I might listen to music and soothe myself a bit through that. Like what you're saying, I will do a bit of journaling. I'll kind of reflect a little bit on the year that's been, and I'll then project out into the future of like what I'd like for the new year, and maybe make a list of not goals, but sort of intentions, you know, like for myself. I always have like a list of personal things and then a list of like my business, or if I'm doing a creative thing, I'll have a list there. And I would really focus on the feelings part, you know, how I want to feel. And also I do that practice of the word, which I love. And I came across that a few years ago. And this year, 2022, my word was commitment. And it came to me and I journeyed that word. Like you say, I had a relationship with the word for the year and I tried to weave it into my work and different parts of my life. And I have to say it like quote unquote worked, because it's benefited me a lot, that word. And it's not restricting. It's actually created a lot of stability for me and opportunity. But I don't know yet what my word for next year is going to be. I'm going to have to really feel into it. Usually I have an idea of it. I just don't have an idea of it yet. So I'll have to give it some space in the Christmas period to see what word wants to come and visit me. It's kind of this feeling of like it comes knocking on the door, do you know? And it does require slowing down, as you say, and sitting with yourself and reflecting on what your needs are for those like intuitive little glimmers to come through, because it's hard. I've had a very busy couple of weeks and it's hard for me to sit with that in those deeper intuitive parts when I'm kind of on a bit of a hamster wheel, you know. So yeah, I think, did you have a word of the year last year? Can I ask you?
Yeah, I loved your word of commitment, actually. I think it's an interesting one to explore. Like I can definitely feel like that's something that, yeah, that would have been like special journey to go on and to like create some safety with as well. Like that's what's coming up for me, obviously. It's not your journey. But yeah, my word of this year was surrender. So I feel like every time I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. Because I was really surrendering into like my practices, my lifestyle, relationships that are coming to me, my work. And I feel even it's that sense of looking back and seeing how far I've come. And I think that can be something really useful to do as well, because we can look forward and visualize and set intentions, but you know, can we actually have a look back and see how far we've come from when we started? And when I look at my own personal journey, I feel like that word of surrender had a really deep meaning for me, as in I would sometimes even forget that I'm doing really well. That might sound really silly, but, you know, I would be doing all the things. I would be, you know, not, and it's not like I have a structured every morning strict routine. And I feel like over time it actually becomes more flexible, because that awareness grows throughout the day. So I don't necessarily always sit down and write down, you know, my thoughts, my feelings, my sensations, but it's coming up more often and more often. But, you know, I would have built a meditation practice. I would have a continuous yoga practice. I would have built really healthy relationships in my life. I would have done an incredible amount to get to a healthy diet, a healthy lifestyle. And then still come up with this inner critic of like, oh, I'm not feeling this, or, you know, it's like, I still don't have it together. And then like almost forgetting who I am and how I'm showing up in the world and how I've built like a really healthy and positive life for myself. And like, you know, there's still always things to change and adjust, obviously, but can I just surrender into who I am and how I'm showing up, and, you know, not needing to have everything figured out all the time, but can I also surrender to what is coming to me and, you know, the things that I'm inviting in, even into my work, you know, can I actually allow it in when it's there, or do I have some kind of inner critic still that is saying, oh, I should be having this, or I should have this figured out, or it's really just being with what is and sitting with that. And even when that question was there of, you know, what are the things that people could do that time of year, I think it's to figure out like what would bring you joy, what would be pleasurable to you, and, you know, do you need rest, like what would be restful. And I'm very much in that space, like when we're recording now, as in, you know, Christmas is coming up. I'm actually going to have my period in a few days, which is going to be together with the new moon. And I've been really interested in the moon, actually. I've become, really curious reading about that cycle as well. And then at the same time, winter solstice is on the way. We're like in the middle of winter. It's like everything is lined up for me to just completely fall into rest and I think surrender. So it's almost like I don't know what I would be doing the beginning of January, like that sense, you know. That's like the first response maybe that I had of like, not sure. But yeah, there's many things that I know, like once I'm reflecting on it, that I will be doing. And it's definitely that piece of just enjoying life, enjoying rest. And when you were speaking to like moving into nature, that would be like my, I would just be walking around in nature like 24/7 having in-depth conversation with people if I didn't have to do anything else.
Yeah, it's to give yourself that time and permission, isn't it, to do these things. Mm. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today. It's been such a delight, and there's been so much for me, at least listening to you, just so much permission. And I actually, now that I'm reflecting on the chat, like, I can really see how that word surrender weaved its way into all different parts of your life, and you're able to speak to that today and reap the rewards of that. I think there's so much spiritual skill. I think that's a spiritual muscle, actually, is the piece of surrender and trust. And like you said, sitting with what is, even when it's difficult, and then being able to be curious about what our needs are to support us in that, you know? So thank you for joining us. And where can people find you? Because I know you're doing workshops, you're taking clients, you're on social media. So you might let us know where people can find your work.
So people can find me when they Google my name, basically, Jennifer Van Uflen, because I don't think there's many of me. But I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me on my website. It's jvucoaching.com. And you can find all my links there as well to my link tree or my socials. So anyway, really, that feels comfortable to you to reach out. I think it's that sense of being on social media as well. Like, even when that question comes up, is like, where can people find you? Yeah, I feel like that's been a journey as well. And it's kind of nice to be able to come to it in an authentic way and just show up with what feels good and what feels real to me, and having that sense of trust as well.
Yeah, gotcha.
That word trust that you just mentioned, it really landed for me. I felt like it's almost like, can we trust ourselves? Like, can we trust our skills? Yeah. Can we trust our experience and what is coming out of that and what will happen with that? And can we trust then that we have the capacity to tend to what comes out of it?
It's so important. I have a mentor who has to remind me, Lisa, we just need to flex the muscle once in a while. It's like weights in the gym. You can't just expect the results, you know. You have to practice the trust muscle too, you know. So I'm going to link all of Jennifer's contacts there in the show notes as well. And do you have any workshops coming up in the new year that you'd like to plug?
I will have, but I don't have a date set for it. So do keep an eye out. So I have my last gathering of the year, the end of December. And then with the new year now coming up, there will be definitely something around, like, looking into the new year and even holding the space to have that journey to journal and process, see what was there in the in the past year. But then apart from that, you can always reach out for one-on-one coaching as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's such a pleasure. And we look forward to having you back again in 2023.
That was really nourishing, Lisa. And have a really, really, really nourishing time over the holidays as well.
Thank you. We're wishing the same for all our listeners. And thank you for tuning in and listening to us today.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.